Good morning. This is Wyoming Debrief from Wyoming Public Radio News. It's Monday, December 15th. I'm Charles Pelkey with these news updates from around Wyoming. Governor Mark Gordon is reversing course from the State Wildlife Commission on pronghorn migration protections. Wyoming Public Radio's Caitlin Tan reports.
Commissioners recommended heftier stipulations on energy development for the entirety of the sublet pronghorn herd's path back in September, something the public overwhelmingly asked for. The migration route stretches from the Tetons south through the Red Desert. But now Gordon is moving the proposal forward, but he's nixed two sections of the route, the Red Desert and east of Farson areas. Wyoming Outdoor Council's Megan Riley is disappointed.
About 20% of the sublet pronghorn herd occurs in the area that these two segments are in. So it's not a small thing to leave about a fifth of the population out of the equation.
But Gordon says the science doesn't support protections for those areas. Next year, a working group will deliberate his recommendation. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Caitlin Tan.
On the last day of the Joint Appropriations Committee's budget hearings this year, lawmakers heard from Family Services and the Stable Token Commission. Here's Wyoming Public Radio's Jordan Uplinger with the highlights.
The Department of Family Services requested a little over $3 million for SNAP education programming. The director, Corin Schmidt, noted that H.R. 1 spending bill eliminated funding for just that. Schmidt said educating SNAP users not only improves each dollar spent, but also results in healthier lifestyle choices. Representative John Baer of Gillette wondered whether it's better to spend the money on healthier food options. The Stable Token Commission director, Anthony Apollo, heard a lot of doubt about his funding request of $8 million. That's $2 million more than in the last budget. Baer asked how many stable tokens had been sold since the launch earlier this year. Apollo said the token isn't publicly available yet, but should be by the end of this month. A couple of representatives wanted some kind of reaffirmation on the potential of the token's returns to the state, suggesting the funding request was a lot for a commission that has yet to produce revenue. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Jordan Uplinger.
About a quarter of adults in the state provide unpaid care to elderly family or friends, says a new study from AARP. Wyoming Public Radio's Hannah Haberman reports.
More than 100,000 Wyomingites support loved ones to help them stay in their homes as they get older, going grocery shopping, helping with medication, driving to doctor's appointments. And all that time adds up.
Those caregivers provide roughly $54 million worth of unpaid care every year.
That's Sam Shumway, the state director for AARP Wyoming. He says without those caregivers, many more people would need professional home health care or end up in nursing homes.
In Wyoming and in other states, Medicaid often pays for nursing home stays, and it's a significant amount of money.
On a national level, AARP is advocating for a caregiver tax credit to help offset what caregivers often pay out of pocket to support loved ones. Shumway says he'll also be watching the upcoming state budget session for any conversations about potential cuts to senior centers. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Hannah Haberman.
The Bureau of Land Management is holding an additional oil and gas lease sale this year. The status quo is four sales, one every quarter. But a new provision in the July GOP policy bill has a caveat. If 25% of the parcels go without a bid in a quarterly sale, there must be an additional opportunity to offer them up. In the BLM's fourth quarter oil and gas lease sale in Wyoming, about a third of the acreage had no industry interest. Many of them were in Campbell County. Those parcels will get offered up again in the bonus lease sale on December 30th. After a two-year lapse, Congress passed a bill last week to renew funding for schools in places historically dependent on timber harvests. The Mountain West News Bureau's Rachel Cohen has more.
The measure restores the Secure Rural Schools program. It provides payments to rural counties to replace lost revenue from declining timber production. Some use the money for search and rescue or road maintenance. In Colorado's Rout County, home to Steamboat Springs, 100% of the allocation goes to school districts. Sonia Macy's is a county commissioner.
Programs like this are extremely important to making sure that rural areas aren't left behind.
When Congress let the funding expire, the nonprofit Center for American Progress estimated a loss of more than $200 million. In our region, Idaho and Montana were hit hardest, followed by New Mexico and Arizona. But the U.S. House approved the bill with sweeping bipartisan support, and it now heads to President Trump's desk. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Rachel Cohen.
And now let's hear from Ivy Engel for a look at what happened this week in Wyoming history.
This is Around Wyoming. Here are some stories from history from around the state. According to the Wyoming Historical Society, on December 7, 1890, the subject of the sermon at Rollins Presbyterian Church was choosing a husband. On December 7, 1944, film star Alan Ladd visited the troops at Fort Warren. On December 8, 1875, Johnson and Crook counties were created. On December 8, 1890, the owner of a Casper meat market gave his household furniture and his wife to the town blacksmith. We don't know why or what his wife's thoughts on the matter were. On December 9, 1890, a bill for the admission of Idaho and Wyoming as states was introduced in the U.S. Senate. 21 years earlier, on December 10, 1869, Cheyenne was approved as the territorial capital. That same day, Territorial Governor John Campbell signed legislation giving women the right to vote, which helped in Wyoming's bid for statehood. That was the last day of the Wyoming's first legislative assembly. On December 11, 1887, Green River City's name was modified to just Green River. On December 12, 1873, Laramie was incorporated. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Ivy Engel.
And here's today's Wyoming trivia question. What is the oldest still operating tavern in Wyoming? Send us your answer to wyomingpublicradio@gmail.com or by message on Instagram or Facebook, and we'll give a shout out to the first person with the correct answer. As for Friday's trivia question, which Wyoming State Park attracts the most visitors each year? That would be Hot Springs State Park near Thermopolis. It attracts close to 2 million visitors a year, and it probably helps that Yellowstone isn't too far away. Congratulations to Reagan McDonald, who was the first to submit the correct answer. Well, that's it for today. Thank you for joining me, Charles Palkey, on Wyoming Debrief this morning. Have a great day, and join me again tomorrow.